don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you
choose. Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. The second of the major buy rounds for 2024 is in the books. Sammy Walker shaved his beard, took part of his hairline with it, had a blinder, then needlessly got sin-binned in the last few minutes. David Fifita and James Tedesco coordinated to get the exact same score for captainers, while some guys called Jaden Campbell and Keanu Keeney went for over 150-plus on an afternoon where all the evidence suggested that Adam Fanua-Blake, Sean Johnson, and the rest of the Warriors forgot what sport they were meant to be playing. Finally, the West Tigers partied like it was 2005 against an insipid Canberra Raiders outfit, to which News Corp journalists reacted with nothing but praise for the ever-in-season Ricky Stewart. Joining me tonight to discuss one of the more memorable Supercoach rounds so far in 2024 are a couple of coaches keen to move on from round 17 and look ahead. First up, it's proud Sean Johnson owner from sunny London, coach of the Casabonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Dan, welcome back to the Pod Pod.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. I've gotten over the SJ incident. I think it was the right thing to hold him and get his 9 points, not contribute to the buy round at all. But I did pretty well otherwise. Happy with my 84, moving up to the top 3,000s. Hoping for a late push through the buys until the final 7 or 8 rounds when I don't have any trades left.
Yeah. Did you make a couple of trades last week?
Yeah, I made a couple. I went for AFB as, you know, half a Supercoach world, and I've brought in I brought in Pod Daniel Tupu. I think still hopefully going to work out the next couple of weeks with Roosters having a good draw, taking a few of those other Roosters boys. So that, you know, not the best. I kept Karin over KPP with Sua Fangalongo going bad poorly and SJ going poorly, which hasn't worked out very well. So yeah, got to rejig my team coming up and try to get the numbers for round 19. How are you looking for 19 so far?
I got 11 currently, with two key buys who we'll get to on the radar to get me up to 13. But yeah, pretty well placed. I had an 11.25 on the weekend, so that's moved me up into the top 1,000 for the first time this season at 987. Well, so done. pretty pleased with myself on that front. But yeah, feeling well placed and pumped for a big round 17 this weekend. Also joining us tonight, fresh off what he describes as the worst game he's ever seen between teams purporting to be Souths and Manly, it's coach of Flatty Burton, Jono. Jono, welcome back to the Pod Pod.
Good to be here, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I thought you were a bit harsh on Dan in the intro there. Keen to move on. He had a pretty good round last week, but compared to myself, a 920, I didn't really drop many ranks, only 500. But when you're sitting in my areas in terms of the ranking, not dropping isn't something to be too proud of. But I got really lucky on Sunday with Galvin and Appy absolutely saved my round. I was much happier. Does that work? Appier after his big 133 points, and that completely saved my round late.
I was pretty happy with Appy's downgrade when he lost that try assist. I was not happy with that at all, but yeah, good to see Galvin going so well. And also, Jono, look, you can take it up with the content producer for my intros. We all know that I don't write my own intros on this pod. Got no time for that. Anyway, let's get into it. We got a short one tonight because what we're planning to anyway, short and sharp, short and Fletcher sharp. We got to get in with Origin this week. So we're actually planning a second episode later in the week, which we'll hopefully get Tubes on for. So we're going to go with a little bit of a different format tonight and just discuss some key players leading into round 17, players who are on everyone's radar, either to bring in or maybe to trade. And then we just want to get on the front foot with a bit of early round 19 strategy. How many players you should be looking for? Should you be going early on round 19 options? And what is a potential nuff strategy or some one and dones? So a little bit to get through, but we want to get it knocked over nice and quick for you. So So kicking off tonight, we obviously can always find us at NRL SC Pod Pod on X, formerly known as Twitter. Our overall group prize update is that Quinton, coach of the Dead Hand Gang, has dropped from first to third after second place overall, I think, had a really big round. So Quinton's still doing well. He's not far off the lead, still right in there. Our group prize is, of course, sponsored by Mailbag Bloodstock, where the winner, looking very much like Quinton at this early stage, will win 2.5% share in a Mailbag Bloodstock horse. All right, let's move on to our key players analysis for this week. First on the radar, Dan, is Fletcher Sharp from the Newcastle Knights, 204,000, break even of minus 68, available at fullback only. He's currently the most purchased player this week. First off, I'll ask, are you looking at bringing Fletcher in this week?
Yeah, definitely. I think for anyone who didn't take the punt on having maybe two fullbacks last week for the round 16 bye, say Teddy and Pappenhausen, I think he's a must get. 204K. I guess the answer is not to buy him. It's kind of what you do for the sharp exit strategy. Obviously, with Ponga on the horizon, coming back around 20 or 21, supposedly. Fletcher Sharp likely out of the side. I don't think he fits in anywhere else. So you've kind of got a plan for who you're looking to bring in. And I was having a look at some of the runs home for fullbacks, and it's a little bit hard to work out which fullback you're actually going to trade him out. So what do I ask you, Matt? Have you had a think about it so far, or what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I'm just I'm really happy just to get 4 to 5 games out of Fletcher, so 3 to 4 even. So they play round 17, 18, 19. I believe they have the bye in round 20. So that's 3 games. You get 3 price rises out of Sharp, which I think is plenty. So, they've got the buy in round 21. So I would think that he will play 4 games at fullback, and then I'll be looking to move him on in round 21 to my choice of premium fullback, and I'll be looking to fund that via, you know, hopefully by that stage he's 500K plus, and I'll be looking to buy someone for that sort of 700, 750 range, and I'll be looking to fund that via a dual NUF, which I'll get to a little bit later. Jono, what's your position on Sharp?
I'm playing a cheapy fullback roulette. So I've gone from Trey Fuller to Lehi Hopewade, and now I am going to bring in Sharpie this week. I'm interested to hear your opinion, gentlemen, for people who already have 2 gun fullbacks and already own Hines, because I'm assuming a lot of people are bringing Sharp as a little bit of a Hines case to bring in Hines in a couple of weeks' time. If you're in a position where you already have 2 gun fullbacks and you already own Nico, you held him through this period, do you still have Sharp as a must-have? I know that Tubes is someone who's in that case. If you're one of those people, is he a must-bring in this week?
So you're not selling Teddy to him. So are you talking about like Drinkwater, I guess, is the Drinkwater? I mean, you're not, if you've got Pappenhausen, you've just bought him, you're not selling him.
Maybe Trell.
Trell and Drinky
Trell
are probably.
Trell's the big
Trell
one.
And Drinky, yeah. It's a bit of a boring answer, but I think it's entirely team dependent. I think it needs to be very much in line with your plans for round 19. So if you're someone like me, I've got 11 for 19, and so I want at least 13. I don't really want to run short. Fletcher Sharp's a great body for round 13, and he's going to make money. I've currently got a really easy plan, which I've had for a while, but it's actually just timed really well, where I'm going to sell Suafai Longo to Sharp, and I'll move Garrick down to the centers. So it really depends on what your plan is and how many numbers you're looking to need. I think there is a case to not get Sharp, which Dan sort of rubbished at the start. It really depends on how much cash you think you're going to need to generate to bring in the likes of Nico and the likes of Cleary without disrupting your 17 too much. And obviously then to get rid of Sharp as well. I think you can still afford to get one more cheapie, which is Fletcher Sharp. I think you kind of need to keep that cash generation going for the next month just so you can afford some of these big guns. What do you think, Dan?
So it depends For me, it's what you're going to do later on, which is that sort of round 20, round 21. And I'm pretty shrewd with my cash. And it's going to be really tough to go up from sharp to, say, the premiums that you'll want around that time. So Trell is going to probably be 800 plus. Pong is going to be 800 plus. Reese Walsh, probably up there, but maybe a little bit cheaper. So I guess you're relying on probably going Turbo or Reese Walsh for under 800K, and the others aren't there. So look, it all is very team dependent. If you've got Nico, if you don't have Nico, you've got to get the cash somewhere. So he's an easy downgrade. I think it's very team dependent. He's a great option. He's looked good. He's playing round 19. You want gun fullbacks for that. So I still stick with he's pretty much a must have unless you've got two gun fullbacks right now and you're really low on trades and you just want to hold.
What do you think then about Trell, selling Trell? Like, I'm kind of in the camp where if you didn't sell him last week, why would you sell him this week?
It would have mattered on who you wanted last week. So if you still got some premium guys last week with the cash you've got and you can sell Trell, then I would I'm not against selling Trell at 870K. Doesn't play, two or three of the next four. So, yeah, I think you can still sell him.
Guys, the next player on everyone's radar this week is Britton Okora, who it's fair to say had been pretty underwhelming prior to his big 120 or 130 or whatever it was against the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago. He's coming into a contention now for round 19, and obviously the Sharks are back this week. He has a very low BE. Is he someone, Jono, that you can see slotting in as your sort of fourth front row forward for the run home?
Yeah, I think Britton Okora, for anyone who doesn't have him, should be one of their absolute optimal targets for this round. Like you said, Matt, a break even of only three, which is just absolutely nothing. 570K, so the price is right, and they got a pretty nice draw coming up too. So I tend to agree, and I think he's someone who I'd be definitely trying to find a way to bring in. Plus, the Sharkies play 19 too. So absolutely great pickup for this week for anyone who doesn't have him.
I don't particularly like Okora as an option. But it's a big but. He plays around 19. He's not going to leak any money. He's going to increase in value. He's low risk and a good option. But I don't think that you don't need him as a fifth 2RF. So you really need to work out who you want your three gun 2RFs to be for the run home. And the players on the table are Eli Katoa, David Fifita, Angus Crichton and Homale Olakau'atu. So I think you really need to be clear with your 2RF strategy if you're bringing in Britton Okora this week, Dan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You need to have a look at the numbers and the depth you've got at second row already. You've also got to look at you're probably going to want to put enough, at least one enough, into front row forward who's got duality for that second row forward. So you can't have Okora taking up that slot. Because if you're trading him, you're kind of just hoping you keep him for the rest of the year. So, yes, definitely a good value price. But as you said, he's not in that top echelon of that top four you'd want for the run home, particularly with the likes of Olakau'atu, who's going to be available post-Origin for a really, really good price.
So, yeah, I think that just all comes back to your round 19 numbers. And he is a really good pick for round 19. He gets Nico Hines and he's looking in good form. And the Sharks have got an amazing run. So there are a lot of positives there. Couldn't knock anyone buying him this week, just to be careful on your 2RF structure moving forward. Let's get into the halfbacks now, boys, and we've got to start with Sean Johnson. 9 points on the weekend following his 24 from the week before. He's now sub 500K, incredibly, 493K. And I'm not an owner, but I feel terrible for those who do own, who held through the buys. What I want to talk through now, though, objectively, Jono, is Sean Johnson, can you sell him for that price at 493K? And if you are going to sell him, then where do you go? The obvious target in my mind is Nico Hines, but he's a measly 350K more expensive than Sean Johnson.
I think it's one of the biggest conundrums of the week for those people who own SJ. What an absolute tough situation to be in. And like you said, he's lost so much value now. What's the break even? 130 far out, so he's only going to leak more. It feels unlikely he's going to come out and get a score that big this week. I think, I don't know, I think I'd just try and find a way to just get him to Nico and have it over with. It's obviously a big jump in price, and it's tough because Nico's got to break even in the 200s as well. But you could see him coming out and exploding this weekend. It's just tough. SJ's a tough own, tough watch. I don't see it as a Sammy Walker situation like we had in earlier the year. I was someone who had Sammy Walker. He got down to 460K and I sold him at that price, and now he's back up 740. But for me, SJ's just not playing the kind of footy that suggests that he'll get back there. Should we go to the man himself, the one who has to make this decision, and see what his thoughts are?
Yeah, we should. I just want to bring Dan into the conversation in the context that it's pretty clear that there's an issue with SJ, and he's, you know, some chat around him having a hamstring issue. And we're under that kind of cloud, Dan, like Jono said, you're in this exact position. What are you thinking in terms of your move for SJ this week?
Yeah, so just from a fitness perspective, I think having a pec injury, shoulder injury, given SJ's, he's not the strongest bloke, the biggest bloke on the pitch as well. If you're spending a few weeks not being able to use that limb, whether I think it's his dominant side, his right side as well, you can see in his defense, he just can't make a tackle properly anymore. He's lost that little bit of strength, that peak fitness. So like he's probably with that comes a bit of confidence as well. I think he had one hit up on the weekend. Doesn't have the goal kicking. He's a must sell at some stage. Obviously the issue this week is 130 break even, 200 break even for Nico. It's a really tough decision. The Sharks have got the Dogs this week who have been defensively pretty good recently. You're banking on Nico losing cash, which he ultimately should, but just how much is the question? And is that going to be more than what SJ is? So I've tried to find alternatives to that. So I guess if you're flush with trades, you could maybe flip to Sammy Walker for a few rounds. Jaden Campbell is an option with the duels with Dylan Brown, but he's not going to make a huge amount more cash, but he does play that round 19 bye. Again, hugely team dependent. I'm just going to probably hold SJ. Hope he doesn't play this week with that hamstring issue. Get Hines next week at a cheaper price. But I really don't see any options that I'm really confident with.
Jono, what if you own both SJ and Hines? Would you look at a Sammy Walker or a Jerome Hughes? Outside of that, starting to get a little bit treacherous, I think.
Yeah, I would actually look at one of those kind of guys if I was in that situation and then hold for a couple of weeks and then hopefully one of those guys makes a bit of cash and flip them over to Nathan Cleary when he comes back from injury. And that way it's not that big jump. Because if you hold SJ at this point with that break even, he could be pushing 400K if he keeps playing the way he is with that big break even in his rolling average now, that 9 in there for two more weeks. So yeah, Matt, I think that's a good suggestion for people who are in that situation if they can find the money. Dan, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I've had to think about that because I know a few people in that scenario. For the real gamblers out there, you could potentially flip Johnson to Jai Gray, so via the duels with Dylan Brown. So you pick up Jai Gray at a very, very cheap price, 240K or something. Obviously, fullbacks in buy rounds are really good to have. So he's pretty much guaranteed to play that round 19 buy for Souths, but it is at slight risk that he doesn't, but I'd assume he would at this stage. So you make some cash there. And then what you're anticipating is that Jai Gray is not in the South Sydney side apart from if Latrell Mitchell gets injured. You probably know a bit more with the depth of South there, Jono. But I'd say then you carry him for the rest of the year as your 5'8 nuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I like it. It's outside the box thinking. I don't know how much I would want to have a 5'8 nuff, especially you're basically having enough except for round 19 from now onwards. And I do think you're right. He's probably the trail cover. He's also probably the next 5'8 up if there was a Jackie Boy injury as well. I think there's a fair chance he comes in at 5'8, so maybe not too bad there either. But I think it's a bit risky to be running from round 17 through to 27 with enough in that 5'8 spot, basically. It feels like a bit of a risk, Dan.
Yeah, it's kind of you've got to save a trade in case Dylan Brown goes down. That's the only thing. But I don't mind.
Or two.
Or two. because I guess you could go to 5'8" and pick up another 5'8" who you think. So say Matty Burton's a good example this week. He's gone down to 600K. He's losing a bit more cash. He could be your second for the run home, but I don't think you really play your second 5'8" in your final strong 17s. So it's not a bad option. I'm personally just going to keep Galvin, which I think is great. I think he's a definite run home second 5'8" option. You don't have to burn a trade there. And so I think Brown and Galvin is a good way to do it. I wouldn't probably, that's why I'm not looking to go to Jai Gray at this stage. But yeah, other than that, I don't really want to keep a huge amount in 5'8".
Send him off! Send the dressing gates off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
Not immune to the Warriors' misfortune on the weekend was the high-scoring front row forward of the year, Adam Fanua-Blake. He actually looked okay in his first stint and scored all right. I think he was on about 28. But then he came back on and had a few penalties and errors and only ended up in the mid-30s. He's now available for about 670K, I think. Owners are actually selling in the top 10% this week. There's already been nearly 200 teams selling Fanua-Blake at 667K. Dan, what do you think in terms of, like, I think you've just got to ride it out if you're an owner. But if you're a buyer, you can probably, like, oh, I'm in that situation, but I think I can probably give it another week and just see what's smelling at the Warriors because something could be right off there.
I don't know. I think Chan's 35, SJ 9, and then AFB 37. I think you can't read too much into that game. Like, it's all good to think conspiracy theories, something's off, like attitude's just not there. I think it's just a complete outlier, and I think still 680K AFB, there is no value in selling that. You can't sell AFB.
Yeah, don't sell.
You can pick him up if you're flushed with other positions and you're just looking to solidify a front row forward. I think that's absolutely fine this week. If you can hold off and he drops down to low 600s, I think he's nearly the most purchased next week. So with a bounce back. So I think, yeah, just ride off last weekend's game. Jono?
I just keep an eye on the minutes. I don't like that two of the last 4 weeks he's gone sub 50 in terms of minutes, which he hadn't done since round four previously. So whilst, Dan, I actually thought you summed that up pretty beautifully, I just wanted to add on the end of that that if you look next week and he's under 50 minutes again, I would start to be having concern both as an owner myself but also as someone who might be looking at bringing him in at a cut rate price.
I'll just add there that Payne Haas is right on my radar. Maybe this week, but probably post Origin. I'm probably going to, given there's some rumours about Roosters not backing up some of their Origin stars, I'm probably run Terrell May for another week and see how that shakes out. But and then make a decision on whether I want Haas or AFB as my second front row forward next week. Dan, Appy Korosau, 133, well done to owners and purchasers last week, who I know a few brought him in. He's currently the second most purchased player after Fletcher Sharp this week. We know that they have an incredible buy run still. They don't miss any games until after round 20, which is the end of the buys. I'm just like, this feels big chasing the points from last week. I don't think like you can go too wrong buying Appy. I just don't know why you'd bother now.
Nah, absolutely crazy. 630K. I don't see the value in it. Obviously, he had a huge score on the weekend, and I'm a proud owner, but I feel like you've missed the boat. Definitely missed the boat. They go into playing Roosters and then into Storm the next two. Like, very easily could go sub 50 for both of those if Tigers return to previous form. I did like the Tigers on the weekend with Dewey there. I think he adds a bit of an element there, but I just don't think against the better defensive sides they're going to get enough attacking stats. No. So the kicking's going to be irrelevant. He's going to make tackles. You know, our expectation is maybe one to two attacking stats every couple of games, but that's all you're looking at for Appy. So I think at the price, who are you trading him for? Like, not Harry, not JMK, definitely not Cookie. So I don't see what you're doing. Maybe second hooker options, Jono?
Yeah, maybe some Jaden Brayley. Owners have had enough and have found the cash to get up to Appy, but I agree with you guys. I think it's very reactive. If he ever kicks that many goals again in his career in one game, I'll eat my hat. Won't happen.
Jono, the last guys I just want to talk about in this section are just going to package them together. They're both having a little bit of a lean trot from the Roosters. Joey Manu and Dom Young, I, of course, speak of. They're both sort of in that high 600s, below 700s range now. Still big BEs again this week after sort of scores in the 60s on the weekend, 50s and 60s on the weekend. I own both. I'm not going to sell either, obviously, with those two games, but I'm sure some people are a little bit tempted. And then on the flip side of that, are they starting to get to a price where if you don't own either of them, would you consider them?
If my numbers were good for round 19, I'd bring in Joey Manu this week for sure. He lost 80K last week. He's down to 677, which feels like pretty good value for him. And I know, Matt, you were saying pre-pod that he hasn't looked great in actual footy form-wise. He's looked a little uninterested at times the last couple of weeks. And I agree with you, but he still scored 63, with that being said, on the weekend. So I really like him at his value if people have buy numbers for round 19. It is worth remembering that the Roosters don't play in round 19. Dan, you made a really good point to myself and Matt pre-pod about Roosters and how many you have in your team with them coming up and having a buy. I think it's round 23 or round 24 you mentioned, and being careful going into head-to-head finals for people about having too many Roosters. Did you want to elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, so I was just talking because myself personally, I have 5 Roosters in the team currently. So bringing in another will add 6. A lot of those are keepers in the likes of Teddy, Angus Crichton, Watson, probably getting rid of Sammy Walker. But if you hit, say, 5 or 6 guys that are playing in your regular 17, if you hit round 23, that's going to be really tough to get through and you could take a real big plummet, particularly if you're running out of trades. So it's just something to look out for. I like Joey Manu as a buy if you're not in that situation, if you're running low on Roosters. I think it's a good price, 670K. Dom Young, I think you can leave it be. But, yeah, one of those guys, not bad unless you've got 3 or 4 Roosters already.
You've misquoted me there, Jono. I didn't say Joey hasn't been looking good in real rugby league. I said he hasn't been scoring well and looking as likely to score well. All good. In saying that, Joey can accumulate like fast attacking stats like not many others can. He was on about 25 on the weekend, and then he got a line break, couple of tackle busts, and shot straight up through to sort of 50s. And that's what he can do, and they got a great run. So I'm just hoping he can have a real big bounce back couple of weeks. Him and Young score really well against the Tigers and the Dragons. And I think Dom Young, maybe not Joey, I'll think about Joey, but I actually think that Dom Young might be a really nice sell at a big price if he can jag another ton in the next couple of weeks, maybe even in round 19. So I'm going to keep an eye on that, but I wouldn't be scared to sell Dom Young as someone that you can antipod and use that cash elsewhere. All right, let's move on to some round 19 strategy now, fellas. Let's kick off with the number of players. I mentioned earlier that I've got 11 currently fit and ready and healthy, raring to go for round 19. Jono, how many have you got?
I currently have 13, and I will look to make that 14, assuming injuries and everything goes to plan. I'd look at having 14 by bringing in Ruben Garrick before round 19, so that's where I'm sitting.
Dan?
Currently I've got 10. But plans to get the bare minimum 13. That's probably what I'm looking at for then, with minimal trades, hopefully, maybe 2 or 3 trades for that.
It's probably likely that we get an injury or two sort of from those sort of more popular guys. So I've got 11 now. I'm getting Sharp this week for 12, and then I plan to get Nico next week for 13. Just on Nico, you have to get Nico in round 18 where they play the Titans, then the Tigers in 19. He's by far the most obvious captain in round 19, so you have to have him ideally for round 18, but depending on what happens this week, possibly 19. I don't think you can really go less than 13, which I know some teams are probably going to be in danger of. Going more than 13 as well, I think is dangerous. So I think the strategy of 13 or 14 exactly is very, very important for round 19 because there just aren't enough sort of inspiring choices to trade into your team that you then have to either keep for the year or they're cows who need to grow. Fletcher Sharp obviously is going to be someone who rises in price, but there aren't many more guys like that and there aren't many keepers on the table. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you need 13 that you're confident that you could play and that you're probably going to hold for the rest of the year. Unless you could probably go 14 players or 15 players if you're getting the one round nuffs. So if you get a guy at under 250K who's going to play that round 19, then's going to nuff out, free up cash to go to the ultra premiums afterwards. I think that would be the only reason you'd be looking for more numbers than 13 good players that week.
So the guys who'll come on the radar for that sort of nuff one and done strategy are Jai Gray, who you mentioned before. Nivali from Manly, who looked pretty good on the weekend, the big Fijian back rower, and Jake Humphries. I have heard actually, Jono, that he's signed up for Souths. That's your Wilder exclusive.
Matty Wilder. Yeah, good.
And that's why Seibold didn't play him on the weekend. They preferred Carl Lawton at halfback. He actually preferred Tommy Talau in the halves with how it played out. Dan, I just want to just zone in on that nuff one and done strategy. I would suggest if you are doing that, unless it's Jai Gray, you wait until Teamless Tuesday to make your decision on who that player is going to be, because the worst thing there, not the worst, you'll end up with enough, but there's no point buying enough who you think is going to play 19 and then doesn't show up on TLT.
No, unless that enough gets you Nico. I think that's the only reason why you would take the punt, because you need Nico pre-round 19.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. You're flipping someone for that extra number in round 19, which I'm definitely considering, because if I've got a few injuries and I'm running less than 13, enough sounds really good to me, particularly at maybe a second row or front row. Jono?
I like the concept of what you guys are talking about. I would rather some of these guys be dual position. That's where Jai Gray has a bit of a leg to stand on. Big Caleb Nivale, it's a big Nivale for me, because he's only playing second row forward. He's not dual. And I think if you're bringing in nuffs, you want to have that dual flexibility. Plus, there's a chance he doesn't play round 19. Like you said, Matt, you want to have that assurance that they're going to play. So that's a no from me for him.
Yeah, in concerning nuffs, I would definitely not get enough at centre wing this year. Matty, would you agree?
Agree, 100%. So you've got to be very careful with your nuffs, I think. I think right now, so I've had Miles Martin all year at front row forward. I think you can only have one nuff prior to round 19. And if you have two nuffs, one of them has to be playing round 19, is my current rule. Round 20 is a real banana skin this year. Cronulla, Parramatta are both on the bye, who are both highly owned teams. St. George are also on the bye, not as relevant, but everyone's talking about Nicara. Most teams own Caliro, Nico Hines. And then obviously over at Parramatta, people still own Sean Lane. I'm a Cardi party owner, Dillbags obviously. So Origin backups, that's going to be a round where I think we will see some restings. And so it just needs to be very careful and looking at your numbers for around 20 before you start having too many nuffs in your team. So that's just a big caveat on the nuff strategy, Jono.
Just interested, you guys said, so you'll run with seven premium centre wings for the run home. Does that include someone like a Caliro?
Caliro would be a potential seventh centre wing, yes.
See, I'd rather nuff out, if I was going to that level, I'd rather nuff out the seventh spot than keep Caliro. And I can't see a situation where you would ever play him and I'd rather just free up $300,000.
It depends a bit. Maybe, Jono, if you don't have a lot of trades, that's maybe. If you have a lot of trades, then yes. But if you're running low on trades, I think you want seven centre wings available just because that position is so important this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you need
raw take.
Your first two nuffs are going to go front row forward and second row forward. I think that's a definite. For me, I'm keen on not having two gun hookers. So I'm actually looking at dual nuff in the hooker area. So that would be three nuffs and that would be max. So I'm hoping to carry seven premiums. And I would say Kyle Iro, end of year, numbers are down, resting players. He's going to be a great option to have in your back pocket
Yeah, I'm not against selling Euro Jono, by the way, either. I think if you can get I think a guy who bases 50 every week and might jag some attack. Sharks have got a great run, so you'll probably always be tempted to play him. But yeah, I think you really need six premium, like top tier premium center wings, and then an Euro, or maybe enough. Like I'm not totally against it. I think you probably only want two enoughs to finish, max three, in the last couple of rounds potentially. But I'm sure we'll talk about more as we get to there. Finally, just on round 19, we spoke a bit about like Nikara. Are there any other players that you would consider bringing in early who are going to fill out your squad for round 19, but maybe they're a bit of a risk of injury or you don't want to see them go down? Are you happy to buy them now, or would you prefer to wait for round 19 when you get those three free trades, not free trades, but you get three trades without a boost? And I'm talking specifically about players like Ronaldo from the Sharks, notwithstanding round 20, like we spoke about. Jaden Campbell's another one, if his hand's not broken, who's obviously come right on the radar as a round 19 option. How are you playing those sort of better round 19 options, Dan?
Yeah, I think Ronaldo is fine to bring in early because he could be a run home centre wing option. So I think anyone you're bringing in early, you want to think you're bringing them in for the rest of the year. Now, Jaden Campbell specifically isn't going to make as much cash as people might think. I think if he goes back-to-back 80s for round 18, round 19, then he's going to be decent, but I think that's unlikely to happen. So, and then you've got to get him out of your squad as well. So I think people you're keen to have for the rest of the year, you could go early on, otherwise wait till round 19.
Maybe just on your theory earlier, Dan, about that second 5'8", Jaden Campbell is probably someone you could run home with as a second 5'8". It's a lot of bickies to be paying though now.
Yeah. So yeah, too high a price. You're going to Gout from Galvin to him and you're paying money for it. There's no reason. So yeah, too pricey.
It's a pretty spicy fixture, that round 19 game against the Eels at home. There's no doubt he's a premium option for round 19 now, like in a week where there aren't a lot of good options. So I don't think there's necessarily a right answer there. I think if you like Campbell, do it. Just know that you're getting yourself into it. Like, that's a lot of money to be spending on. Effectively, you're buying him for one round. Like, he's not a cash grab. So even though he's got that big negative BE.
Yeah, he could get 30 that week. It's all for nothing.
He could. Exactly. It's high risk. I would say the same thing. I'm pretty in the camp of I've got a plan to get Sharp and Hines, which gives me 13, and then I'm not looking at any more numbers until round 19, where if I have to make two trades, I will, just depending on how my team's shaping up or if there's a really prevailing option. I think I've got the main guns for round 19. I've got Asako, Ruben Garrick. There's not many there. Bryce Cartwright, I'll call him a major gun for round 19. So yeah, I think if you can, I think Dan's point's exactly right. If there's a keeper you're bringing in, get them whenever you want. Might be a pod for the next couple of rounds. But yeah, otherwise we should be waiting until round 19 to hit go on those options, making sure they turn up in round 19. Because the last thing you want is to be left short and blown a trade. All right, that's enough for us tonight, guys. Nice Fletcher short and sharp episode. Looking forward to State of Origin tomorrow night. Go the Mighty Blues. Wednesday night. I'm heading out with the family. Should be a good night. MCG. Thank you very much, Jono.
Pleasure. Just watching you two in a strategy episode, getting into the macros of Supercoach. Just you two in your element. Good to see.
We'll get back to normal programming when Tubes and Chris come on later in the week. Thanks, Danny boy.
No worries. I know Tubes loves a macro, so yeah, looking forward to that one. And your beauty.